Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world, even if there are toxic chemicals all around us in consumer products and in the environment and in, well, hopefully not our homes because we've removed them. There are things that we can do to, for example, remove them from our home, remove them from our bodies so that we don't have to be sick from toxic chemical exposure, and we can be healthy, happy, productive, creative, and anything else we want to be. Today is May 14th, Tuesday, 2013, and I'm here in Clearwater, Florida, and we're going to be talking today about safe housing, finding or creating houses that don't have toxic exposures in them. I'm talking about the building shell and the interior finishes, not the consumer everyday products like cleaning products that we put inside of them, but the actual house or the building itself. But before we do that, I want to tell you about a webinar I attended today, and it was about what's called compliance. And compliance is for manufacturers who make products with toxic chemicals that need to comply with certain regulations. And it was very interesting because it was about two specific regulations that aren't even USA regulations. They're regulations for manufacturers of any country who are making products that are sold in the European Union. That's what they were talking about today specifically. But this applies to all kinds of regulations, that there are regulations in the USA that do need to be followed and from other countries. But what was interesting to me about this is how slow the process is. What they were talking about was still, even though some of these regulations that they were talking about, or directives or whatever they're called, even though that they've been in existence for some years, they're still trying to figure out what is a toxic chemical. And I find this to be appalling, but it's also, I think, typical of bureaucracy. Now, I've been in this field for 30 years, and more than 30 years, and the first thing that I needed to do when I first started asking myself, well, how do I remove toxic chemicals from my home, is I needed to figure out which toxic chemicals I wanted to remove. And at the time, with like no chemistry background, I picked 40 toxic chemicals by reading toxicology books and going to poison control centers. I just picked what I thought were the top 40 toxic chemicals and focused on those. And now, with more than 30 years of experience, I don't seem to have any trouble being able to look at a study and say, well, that looks like it's a problem, or this falls into this class of chemistry. And again, I'm not a chemist, and I can look at this stuff and make a determination. And each one of us actually needs to do that. We need to decide which toxic chemicals we want to not have in our homes or in our bodies or be exposed to. And yet, government agencies and regulations are spending zillions of dollars and years and years and years to decide what chemical belongs on the list of chemicals that need to be regulated. That was what was amazing to me. There is no central list. And there are organizations all over the world individually trying to make these decisions. There is no central list that says these are the chemicals we should not be using anywhere in the world. And it also amazed me that this was for environmental reasons and not for human health reasons. These were environmental regulations. Don't put these chemicals into the environment, but nothing about don't put them in human bodies. So that's my amazing fact for today about how this is going. But that doesn't stop us, you and me, from making our own decisions. My guests today are Marianne Parker and Paul Maurer. And Paul, I hope when you come on that you'll correct the pronunciation of your name if I didn't get that right, from the Jennifer Parker Foundation. And they were on, if that sounds familiar, they were on a week ago Friday, just for a short period of time, talking about a walk, a series of walks that were happening across America to make people more aware of the need for safe housing. And I thought that it was such an important subject for us to discuss that I invited them back. Paul is here, will be here for the full hour, and Marianne will join us at 3:30. Hi, Paul. Thanks for being here with me.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Hi. And how do you pronounce your name?
Maurer. Rhymes with Maurer.
So I think I got it close. So first I'd like to know, what is your personal experience with toxics that got you interested in this subject, and how did you hook up with the Jennifer Parker Foundation?
Well, you know, mine goes back to childhood when I had headaches and nosebleeds, and I had regular allergies. That's just what you think it is. And, I don't know, along the time I was about 20, I realized I had trouble with certain personal care products. And it wasn't until, to be honest with you, after 3 homes with brand new carpeting, in addition to other things, really kind of knocked me back that I started to realize it was something a little different. And then I found the book that suggested that it's, you know, these toxic chemicals in the air. And then, you know, I sort of cleaned up my situation. And lo and behold, you know, all these symptoms go away. It's quite amazing. So fast forward to now, the problem of finding a less toxic building to exist in is really, really difficult. And most people don't realize they need it until they really need it, and they're not in a position to do it. Now, the Parker Foundation came along, and to be honest with you, I'm not sure how I found out about them at first, but I've been a volunteer with them for, maybe more than 6 months. They've only been around about a year.
Yeah, they're a fairly new organization. And, Paul, could I ask you to be a little closer to your phone or speak up?
Sure.
My technician is saying
I'm
not hearing you as well.
Okay,
yeah, that's better.
Now.
Thanks. Okay, so tell us about the foundation, the Jennifer Parker Foundation, how that came to be.
Well, the story of Jennifer Parker is she was a young woman. She was in New Jersey, sort of an all-American girl. I've not met her in person. I'm in Michigan. She was popular. She was athletic. She started her own landscaping business. She drove her own dump truck. She was, you know, just a really super dynamic person. And then she began to get ill. And her mother says, you know, as she began to get ill, she started staying home more.
Mm-hmm.
And unbeknownst to her, her home was moldy behind the walls where you can't see it. And this thing kind of sneaks up on people. It happens to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, there was a carbon monoxide problem in her home. So the more time she spent at home, the sicker she got. And I don't know exactly how she was finally diagnosed, but by that time, it was clear that she needed to leave the home. And then the next question is, where do you go? And that's really the big problem here is for people who have become hypersensitized, they literally have nowhere to go. You know, where would you go if you had nowhere to go? And that's what people are facing. They're out in their cars, if they have one. So anyway, in Jennifer's case, fortunately, I'll let her mother fill in some of the details about what they did and everything. It's really fascinating. But they immediately embraced the situation and said, okay, well, someone told them that Jennifer needs a less toxic space. And they set about trying to create that.
And we'll hear more about that after this message. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dapp. Talks freaky. Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and I'm here with Paul Maurer from the Jennifer Parker Foundation. And before the break, we had just asked the question, if you get sick from toxic chemical exposure and you're told, well, you need to go live in a place where there are no toxic exposures, a safe house, where are you supposed to find that? And I'll just say that in my situation, when I found myself needing a safe place to live that had no chemicals, there was a woman, I was working in a doctor's office at that time, and a woman came into town, and she had rented a house on the beach, and I was able to go stay in the backyard of her beach house. I couldn't even stay in the house. I just camped out in the backyard of her beach house for a month until my body had reduced its body burden of toxic chemicals enough that I could come back to my own home and begin to remove the toxic chemicals without having too much of a problem with it. But this really is, I mean, on the level that we're talking about it with the Jennifer Parker Foundation, this is an emergency kind of situation for people when they get to a point where they can't live in their house. Where are they supposed to go? So, Paul, I'm going to let you take over from there and tell us what the Jennifer Parker Foundation is doing about it.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for that story. I think you just emphasized the fact that what Jennifer says is, you know, the less toxic space is the critical first step to healing, right?
So I totally agree. That's the first thing I've been saying for years.
I would almost, not to back it up, but actually, a less toxic home, actually, the first step is diagnosing yourself. And we're not going to talk a lot about that, but it's not uncommon, and I'm sure you know people, that take 10 years to realize what's going on.
But yes.
Actually, a clean space can be a really great diagnostic tool. I have a friend here locally who discovered that when he goes to his parents' home, he's fine. Back to his house, nosebleeds. Back to parents' house, fine. He's going to tear his house down and start over because he knows that it's going to work.
Yeah.
So, maybe not unlike you, Jennifer, when she, in her quest for a space, she tried, I think, on the order of 10 different family members that were living in the area, let her come over and, you know, try their places. And in the end, the best option was camping in her parents' backyard.
Yes.
And then they went to work on the home. And actually, I just learned yesterday that they actually used a Deborah Lynn Dad book as their reference Bible because they knew nothing, you know. They just didn't know anything about the subject. And it's overwhelming at first. But, you know, 8 months later, they got her in the house. And long story short, it's a long route of therapy and treatment, but she's very well, and she expects to return, you know, to get her life back. And that's what this is really all about. People's lives are on hold really indefinitely. And often because they can't get past that step of finding living space.
That's really true. I've seen it over and over, and this is one of my motivations for doing the work that I do, is that there was no information when I was camping out in a stranger's backyard. I had to figure it all out step by step, so it took me much longer than it takes someone today. I mean, Jennifer got her at least a safe place to live in 8 months. That's actually a pretty good rate. It took me 7 years. And, but the thing that I always want to say is what I've learned, if there's one thing that I've learned that I just want to put on billboards all over the world, is that the steps that you need to do to heal your body from something like this or any illness are actually the same steps that you can do to prevent being sick in the first place. So if you need to live in a safe house, if you need to eat organic food, if you need to drink clean water, why not start now? Because if you're not doing those things, then what's happening is you're getting sick. And I thought, as I was writing the description for the show, I wrote, the epidemic of toxic housing in the world. And it is an epidemic. It's an epidemic like a disease. There's toxic housing, and it's making people sick.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's eminently preventable.
It is.
We don't find prevention sexy. But I would like people to know, you know, one of the big problems here is, and, you know, you can tell your stories, too, it's getting others. There's a lot with these illnesses. Sometimes I call them the do-it-yourself illnesses. You know, you have to figure out what your food allergy is and this and that. And you can do a lot yourself. And Jennifer Parker, obviously a self-motivated person, right, has her own business. But there's some things you can't do by yourself. And when you live around other people or in someone else's house, you have to have their buy-in. And I think what we want people to know is, number one, it's really important. It's really important. And actually, believe it or not, we'll let Marianne tell the story. She has some reticence that she wasn't even faster than she was in getting things to be okay so her daughter could get back on the road. And she has no idea. You know, we're telling her, hey, people are waiting 15, 20 years to get somewhere. But I think we also want people to know, as you alluded to, maybe this less toxic lifestyle, it's not a penalty box. It's actually, in my experience, coming out the other end of it, it's actually much better. Much better. Much more enjoyable. My food tastes better.
I totally agree. Yeah, I would like people to know that too, because I think that a lot of people, I remember in the early days for me, it was like I only had this one idea of this is the way the world is. And that how can I give up this familiar toxic place and go into this unknown of these strange, non-toxic, if they even existed, products. But I did, and it's like there's a parallel universe or something where it's a whole different way of living that's actually much better. It's just people don't know it's there. We'll come back after the break, and I think that Marianne will be with us, and we'll continue to talk about safe housing with Marianne and Paul from the Jennifer Parker Foundation. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. You're listening to Toxic Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we're here with Marianne Parker and Paul Maurer from the Jennifer Parker Foundation. That's jenniferparkerfoundation.org. And we're talking today about the problem of people with chemical injuries not being able to find safe housing when they need to have a clean place to live away from toxic chemicals in order to recover their health. Welcome, Marianne. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And could you speak up just a little bit so we can hear you?
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yes, that's better. Thank you.
Okay.
And so do you want to, I know Paul just gave us a little bit about how the foundation came to be, but do you want to say give us any background information before we just go on and talk about what a safe house needs to be like?
You mean as far as what I did for my daughter's safe house? Or
yeah, what you did for your daughter and what motivated, obviously you love your daughter and you want to do that, but a lot of parents don't do that for their children. I had the same privilege that your daughter had was when I needed a place to go, my father took me in and took care of me and helped me create a safe place. But tell me, you know, how this was for you, what you did and why.
Okay. Yeah, I think the more stories that people hear that, you know, you can create a safe place, I think the more family support would be out there. As far as my daughter, we didn't understand the illness at first. We were really, you know, we moved her out of her condo and into a tent in the backyard because we had no idea what to do and didn't understand any of it. And in fact, Debbie, your book was like our little Bible for survival. We actually did purchase your Home Sweet Home, Home Safe Home,
Home Safe Home.
Yeah, Home Safe Home, and it was great. And it took us 8 months until we moved her in, but little by little, we created a safe place. We took a room off the back. We sheetrocked it closed. It had an outside entrance for her. Everything in the room, we went by your book. We got rid of the things that, the furniture and different things that were newer and, the prefab furniture, like the entertainment centers, things like that. All the different things that would make her ill, we got rid of, and the room was fairly empty, but it worked. And, I mean, we used your knowledge all the way into the backyard. My daughter spent a lot of time in the yard the next summer, and, I mean, your list of plants for the yard was amazing. I always planted certain annuals every year. So mm-hmm. I went through the list, and I picked the ones that were the best for, they weren't poisonous.
Right.
And that was great because she spent every day out in the backyard. You know, we had a 6-foot vinyl fence, and unless something was going on in the neighborhood, she was outside. And those, we knew what kind of plants, and inside we knew what to do. And then throughout the rest of the house, it was frustrating. We didn't like getting rid of everything that we used, all the products we used all our life, all the way down to the.
It's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, it was a very hard thing to do, and it was frustrating at times, but, oh, my gosh, the payoff was great.
Yes, I want everybody to hear this. This woman followed my book to the letter, and her disabled daughter got well.
She's better.
Right?
Yes, yeah, we found the right treatment. We used your book for, creating a safe place, and, oh, my goodness, here we are. The foundation was started with, in the back of my mind, my daughter was going to be living there.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. Oh, brother.
It's okay.
But here she is, 8 years later, and she won't be living there. She's better.
Yeah, she got her life back.
I'm so sorry. She got her life back. She's just figuring out now what she's going to do, where she's going to go, what she's going to do with her life. But, oh, my gosh, she has that option.
She does, and everybody has that option. This is so amazing to me, because there's all these people that are living these toxic lives. They're being exposed to all these things, and they're sick, and they're not working, and they're unhappy, and they're not productive, and they don't have their lives because they're sick, and they're going from doctor to doctor to doctor, and it's toxic chemical exposure. And everybody in the world could have their life back, because we now know that toxic chemicals are related to every single body system and every single illness. Every body system can be affected. And if you just stop being exposed to the toxic chemicals, things turn around. This is a testament of that. And the first step of what people need is a clean place to live. So tell what you're putting together.
Oh, as far as the foundation?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, what we're doing is we're looking for land, actually. And, of course, we have to raise the rest of the funds for the land. But we're hoping to purchase a large campground where, people can come and stay in tents until we get homes. Build some emergency cabins for people to come and stay, away from everything, away from the cities, away from the chemicals.
Yes.
Sure, it's not going to be perfect. Nothing's perfect, but my daughter got better in a neighborhood that wasn't perfect. And for all those that don't have family support, my goodness, you can get better. And they need help. They need a place, a safe place to go that they can recuperate. We want to start some type of online business so people have employment while they're there. And be able to, keep their mind going and eventually, get better and move on.
People that I've known who have had chemical injury and have now what's called multiple chemical sensitivities are some of the most talented, intelligent, caring people that I've ever met. They could be extremely productive in the right environment, and that they and excellent members of society. It's just that they need to be in a non-toxic environment, and so does everybody else. I think it's great what you're doing. I could really, I really think that more and more what is going to be needed is like these toxic-free recovery zones.
Yes.
Where people know that there's a place they can go. That's the biggest question that I've been getting for years and years and years is,
yes,
where can I go?
I get calls every day, Deborah.
Yes,
so
I know.
Sad.
I know.
It tears me apart.
It's so needed. It's so needed.
Where can we go? You know, where's their place? You know, we're trying, when we're going to get there, you know, and it's going to be a bit, but, you know, we're looking for people that want to join in with us. And, you know, there's so many talented people that could help us, you know, landowners, with people for funding. There's so many people, you know, they can go on our website and read about it and get involved with us. You know, I would love to get this happening sooner than later.
You know, I would love to see that too, because we really, really, really need it.
Really need it. And when I see my daughter now, like I said, I thought she was going to be part of it, but she's not going to be living there. And that, it's wonderful. And unfortunately, families don't understand what to do. And I think if they were taught, you know, more needs to be taught so that people do understand that they can help their family members. I think they give up because they're so frustrated. And there were times,
yes,
that we did get a little frustrated, but we did it. There was no way I was giving up. So we just kept researching through your book a lot. Like I said,
well,
it was our little Bible.
You.
It
we
was
need
our little
to take
Bible.
A break, and we'll be back with Marianne Parker and Paul Maurer from the Jennifer Parker Foundation on Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we have one more commercial for you. Spring is in the air. Are you sneezing and coughing? Feel relief with the comfort of an I Can Breathe silk mask that prevents pollen and dust from entering your nose and lungs. Breathe deeply without side effects. If you need to avoid perfume, air pollution, or cigarette smoke, wear an I Can Breathe honeycomb mask with activated carbon filter, which captures chemicals as well as pollen and dust. Enjoy spring and summer by visiting icanbreathe.com. You too will shout, I can breathe! Use the code Deborah513 when you order to get a 5% discount. This code is good through June 1st, 2013. That's icanbreathe.com, icanbreathe.com. Okay, we're getting back now with Marianne and Paul from the Jennifer Parker Foundation. That's jenniferparkerfoundation.org. And they're telling us about their vision for what's needed and what they're putting together to make a safe place for chemically injured people to go to heal. So tell us more about that.
Yes. Okay, my daughter's room, for instance, what we did, there was an entrance in and an entrance out from a dining room.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually took sheet metal and closed it off from the rest of the house. We hung old curtains that I had from years ago. They were cotton, 100% cotton. And she went out through this sliding glass door, in and out that way. And, you know, we had the gas turned off in the house because we had gas cooking. We had a gas fireplace. We had a lot of the carpet torn up and you just kept the hardwood floors underneath. We pretty much emptied down to the basics. I think we saved a lot of money on products, to tell you the truth.
You know? Well, I did with my room, too. Exactly. I just had the empty shell.
Just the basics. Yep. She didn't even have a TV in there because she was, at the time, electrically sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So we closed up the, we thought, we got to get right on this, you know. So we got rid of the TV. We got rid of, plugged up the outlets. Didn't have a computer, really didn't use a cell phone at all. She would use a landline now and then, but she tried to stay off the phone as much as she could. She had two aunts that would call her every day, but other than that, she was not on the phone, and that electrical sensitivity went away, which was great. It did come back for a short time, but when she got back around electric, and now it's gone completely. Now she's around everything, and she does very well. But just the basics in your house are great. And then about 2 years after that, after she was starting to get a little better, we opened up the dining room and kitchen area and closed off the living room from her, and she had three rooms. And, she kind of felt like a big deal there. But the house was just safe, and, you know, we didn't have to buy all those products. We just had those basic couple products, you know, and we, our lawn doesn't look like it used to, but that's okay. Our sprinkler system broke down, but I know they use heavy glues to repair it, so that's going to sit. But that's okay. It was all worth it. You know, seven years later, seven and a half, whatever it was, our lawn's dead. But we have our daughter. We have our daughter back, and that's the best part. So, you know, those things aren't so important. And less is best. It's not that you have to go out and spend a fortune to make it safe.
No, it actually ends up costing less.
It actually ends up costing less. Get rid of everything.
And you can have a great lawn.
Yeah, you can. I was just afraid to use organic fertilizers. You know, I wasn't taking the chance with anything.
Right. You did the method. The method, and again, it's a paradigm shift from what people are used to. Normally, when people are ill, they're looking for that one thing that makes everything better.
Mm-hmm.
With this, you're better off kind of getting rid of everything, and then you bring things in one at a time.
Yeah. We're still basically...
That's exactly the way it works.
We're fairly empty around here, but, you know, except for the office down here. But that's okay. You know, we'll slowly bring stuff back. And she's out driving around now and actually drove herself to her doctor, which is an hour away today. And, I mean, that's a big deal because her brain was so, bad back in the day. She couldn't drive. So she's back. And I think anyone can do it. Heck, for one thing, buy Debbie's book, Home Safe Home. To read all about what you can do to change your home to make it safe. And in the long run, you won't have someone sick the rest of your life, you know. You'll have them better.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, if we just live right, we won't have the problems. So tell us more about what your foundation is doing. What would you like, how exactly would you like people to help? Tell us some of the things that you've mentioned on your website so that whoever's listening can see if that's something that they can do to help you.
Yeah, Paul, you want to do this or you want me to?
Well, I would like to say that, you know, having a clean air retreat is a really important part of the equation. Now, it's best if you can have that in your own backyard.
Yeah.
You know, but that's not always possible. And even for someone who's created their own safe home, you know, something could occur. You may need to do work on the home. There may be something that happens in the area. You may want to travel. You may just want to get away from people for a weekend, and where do you go? So I think, you know, we've come up with the idea of a campground, which seems to fit the bill, because we know that a variety of options is really what people desire. And really, camping always has to be part of it because, you know, people don't know if they're going to tolerate a place until they physically walk in and breathe the air. There's just no way to know, right? So the other thing that's occurred, if you look at the projects that have been attempted before, to date, if you want to have your own less toxic house, if you want to build it, it's essentially a custom build. And this is not only is it difficult, you know, any custom build of a house, you ask anyone who's done it, it's difficult and time-consuming. Now add on less toxic, which the contractor's not used to, and what, you have to try out all the materials, which you should do. It's enormously difficult, and it's enormously risky because sometimes it just doesn't work out for that particular person. So it's a very risky thing. And
I just want to comment on that for a second. Because one of the things that I found is that everybody who is chemically sensitive seems to have their own set of things that they're sensitive to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you could be using something that is even a non-toxic product, and they still could be sensitive to it, not because it's toxic, but because they're sensitive to it, like an allergy.
Right.
And so if what you do is wait until somebody is really sick and chemically injured, then it becomes very difficult to create that perfect environment. And so there's two things I want to suggest to people who are not yet in that condition. One is just follow the instructions that I'm giving about living in a toxic-free way, mm-hmm. and remove the toxic chemicals from your home now. And that way you won't get to the point where just everything is making you sick, and that you'll have a chance of, you'll already have the toxic-free home, and you won't have to go through that phase of trying to figure out what it is that you can tolerate. The other thing is that I've learned is that the reason that people become chemically ill is because their bodies get overloaded with too many toxic chemicals. And so anything that you can do to start removing the toxic chemicals now, before they get to this point of overburdening your body, to the point where I got to and Jennifer got to and hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of other people have gotten
and Paul.
To, then you don't have to get to that point where, oh my God, what can I possibly tolerate? How am I going to create a house that I'm not going to react to? And so then I just think that I have to keep stressing prevention, mm-hmm. because I hope you all are hearing what is the end result. Because if you don't do these things, what happens is you get to a point where you could have a perfect non-toxic house, and what you're reacting to is the non-toxic wood. You know?
Yep.
That's where it gets to. Your body cannot tolerate anything.
Anything,
and
yep.
That's what you have to turn around from. You mm-hmm. don't tolerate anything.
There's a doctor, Lisa Nagy, spelled Nagy, and she was injured herself. She's now trying to educate clinicians. But she points out, she's got a great talk online. You can put the link up. But she points out that nobody is a zero when it comes to being sensitive to toxic. She says, you know, it's a spectrum, and everyone is kind of having some problems they may not realize.
Yes, I agree.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And again, everybody should go to the JenniferParkerFoundation.org, find out what they're doing, figure out what you can do to help so that there will be a place on the planet where people who need this kind of very, very clean, very non-toxic, just empty, orderly environment can have that and have an opportunity to heal, have a place where they can go and just be in the safest place possible. Again, it's JenniferParkerFoundation.org. And if you want to do some things to prevent your own health from getting to that point where you need to go there, then what you want to do is explore my website, as Marianne and her daughter did, in order to have her recovery. But do it for your own prevention, and do it to improve your health, regardless of where your health is right now. Everybody's got aches and pains and something going wrong with their body that you're maybe taking drugs for or whatever. So go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com and take a look around and see what you can do to live a less toxic life. I'm Deborah Lynn Gass. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'll see you tomorrow.